He was associated most prominently with the new Constitution of 1977, which underscored once again the importance of the importance and dominance of the Communist Party. There would be no loosening, no changing, no opening of the Soviet system. The Communist Party was central to the functioning of the Soviet state and was embedded, its position embedded actually in this constitutional document. He also reasserted the power of the Soviet bureaucracy, long the butt of all sorts of jokes within the Soviet Union, complaints, but the Soviet bureaucracy was to be a pillar of the Soviet state, as well as the secret police. Brezhnev would also be associated with a doctrine in foreign policy. That is the Brezhnev Doctrine, which asserted that the Soviet Union would intervene anywhere in Eastern Europe to help established communist regimes meet a threat of counter-revolution. This is the positive way of stating the case from the Soviet point of view. Another way of looking at it was that the Soviet Union had announced a doctrine to intervene anywhere where a communist regime, one of its puppet states in the East, was threatened by domestic violence or the threat of domestic rebellion against the regime. After Brezhnev's death, two leaders, both from the old school of Soviet leadership, would come to power. Both would die in office within a three-year period. Neither was able to have a dramatic effect on Soviet policy. No new initiatives, no lasting ramifications of their rule. Yuri Andropov in 1984, Konstantin Chernenko briefly in 1985. But in 1985, the Soviet Union would experience a genuine change, both in tone, in form, and in substance when Mikhail Gorbachev came to power. Gorbachev became General Secretary of the Communist Party and Premier in 1985. Although he was a man of the party apparatus, an apparatchnik, Gorbachev sought to modernize and liberalize the economy, which he felt was indisputably falling desperately behind the West, particularly in technology. The technology of artificial intelligence and computers. He believed that drastic steps were necessary to modernize this Soviet economy, and he believed that that modernization of the economy should be, in fact, had to be, accompanied by a liberalization of Soviet political life, to introduce reforms in Soviet political life that would allow greater individual freedom, which would also then hopefully produce greater economic creativity. His political policy came to be known as glasnost, openness. He relaxed censorship in television, in radio, in the arts. He placed liberals in important state and party positions. Gorbachev believed that the Communist Party should dominate Soviet life. He was not from outside the party, but rather he hoped to see, as he put it, communism with a human face in the Soviet Union. It was a phrase used previously, as we will in the 1960s, by Alexander Dubček in Czechoslovakia, to which we will come in a moment. He permitted dissidents such as Andrei Sakharov to speak out, voicing criticism of the regime, something which in the past would have been done very rarely indeed, and with very dangerous consequences. His economic policy to accompany glasnost was referred to as perestroika. It emphasized a restructuring of the Soviet system, concentrating on consumer goods, introducing some features of a market economy, encouraging foreign investment in the Soviet Union. Gorbachev was, in many ways, the darling of the international press in the mid-1980s when he first appeared on the scene, unlike the stony-faced, poorly dressed communist leaders of the past. Here was a man who seemed to be bright, to be witty, to have a kind of savoir-faire that played extremely well in Europe. He did what many people thought was impossible by charming the arch-conservative prime minister of Great Britain, Margaret Thatcher.